at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart fall away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you for tuning in to The Gospel Truth with Jonathan Reed right here on Love 860. So open your minds and your hearts to the gospel truth. Here's Jonathan.
Thank you. I want to thank the Lord for another opportunity to come to you and preach the gospel to you. Thankful to be born again by the grace of God, by the gift of God that's not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm grateful to be saved this morning and born again. I'm glad that I grew up and had a real preacher that preached the gospel to me, and he preached it in truth. He never preached doctrines as far as this world is concerned. He never preached the Baptist. He never preached Methodist. He never preached the Catholic doctrines, but he preached Jesus to us, and that's the only name under heaven that can save you. And I'm thankful to be saved this morning and born again, thankful for the Lord's infinite love and his mercy towards me, and how he has mercy on me every single day, and he loves me, and I love him. Because he first loved me, and I don't know how to love without him. I don't know how to do anything without Jesus Christ. And he directs me, he guides me through all truth. When he sent back the Comforter after he was crucified, after he died and gave his life, and he went to hell and conquered death. He went to hell for me, he went to hell for you, and he came back and he said, I'll send back the Comforter. And the Comforter comforts me every day, and that Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And I received that Holy Spirit the moment I got saved. Like I told you before, I knew about Jesus when I was young. He was preached to me as I was growing up as a young boy, and I knew that he was real. I had no problem believing that. I believed in the Son of God, but that sure didn't save me. I believed he was real, but that didn't save me either. You see, I had to realize that I was a sinner. I had to realize that I needed a Savior. You see, most of the time, and the problem is nowadays, people don't even realize or they don't even think they need a Savior. They think they're all right. They're thinking that they can just live a life and live a morally good life and do the right thing and treat their neighbor well, which those are good things, but those can't help you get into heaven. You see, Jesus died for us. He died on the cross for sinners such as we are. You see, we're all born in sin. The psalmist said, behold, in sin did my mother conceive me, and I was shapen in iniquity. And that's how I was. I was born in sin. We're born with a sinful nature. You see, when you have a child and they are living a certain way and they're growing up, they're 1 and 2 years old, you have to teach them how to do right. You don't have to teach them how to do wrong. That comes naturally. And, you know, even these young kids, they're 1 and 2 years old and they're very smart, and they're too smart sometimes. And you have to correct them. You have to give them spankings because they'll get rebellious and they'll grow up to be a brat. And that's how I was when I was a teenager. I heard all the truth, all the truth you could think of from a real God-called man that preached the gospel to us. And I went the other way, just like a spoiled little brat. I thought I knew better. And I was running away from God. I didn't want God at that time. I wanted to have some fun, as I thought in my mind. I thought it was fun. I wanted to satisfy and please this rotten flesh. And that's where I ran. I ran for 7 long years, and when God dealt with me the first time, he spoke to me, he wanted to save me, but I didn't want to get saved at that time. You see, I didn't realize that I needed a Savior just yet. I knew I did, but in my heart, I didn't want to. I wanted to run my way, and so I did. I ran in sin, lived like a fool, and came up empty every time. I'll tell you, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like salvation in the good old-fashioned way. And I'm thankful for that this morning. There's nothing like this great salvation that God gave to mankind. You see, he didn't owe us anything. We're the ones that are indebted to God. We're the ones that live in sin. We're the ones that are sinners. You see, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. We've all, like sheep, gone astray. But the Lord Jesus, it laid all the iniquity upon him, and by his stripes, by what he paid at Calvary, we're healed. And that's where the pastor, he pointed me to, was Calvary. You see, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, and that's you today, the ones that perish, and that's talking about the unsaved. And when a man preaches the cross and preaches the crucifixion and they preach Jesus, it's foolishness to this world because they don't want to hear it. It doesn't match up with the way that they live, and that's how I was. I was the same way. It didn't match up with how I wanted to live, so I ran from God. But 7 long years, I ran in sin, and boy, it was a big mistake. I was missing out on real life. I see that now, and I'm here to tell you today that there's hope. There's hope out there. You can look out, and you can see all the hopelessness in this world. There's violence and corruption. There's things going on in this world that we don't even know the half of it. But there is hope, my friend. There's hope for you, and his name is Jesus Christ and what he did. You have to believe in what he did. You have to believe that he had that immaculate birth. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven and put the seed inside of Mary, and he had an immaculate birth. And then after that, he lived an immaculate life. He lived a perfect life. He came to die for sin, yet he knew no sin. You see, he didn't know any sin at all. You think about it. We live in this life, and every time we try to do good, there's evil present with us. And we can't even help but have a foolish thought. We can't help but have a foolish sin in our thoughts. And that's, the Bible says, that a thought of foolishness is sin. So Jesus had none of those. He had no sin. He didn't even have a foolish thought. And he's the only one that could have done that. He was God in flesh, by the way. God got in man, and his name was Jesus Christ. That was God's only son. He came into the world to die for sinners. And he came, and he sure did come to die for sinners. He lived a perfect life. He did everything that God sent him to do. He was healing the sick, the blind, the maimed, the lame, everything. He came to do it all. And he, but most of all, his number one objective was he came to die for sinners like me and you. And he hung on that cross. He went through more things on that cross. And before he went on the cross, more than we'll ever imagine. This Bible gives us a glimpse, but we don't even know a half of what Jesus went through and what an awful death he died for you and me. You see, we're the ones that deserved to be beaten to a pulp like he was. We're the ones that deserve that because of how sinful and rotten we really are. And my friend, you have to see yourself as sinful and rotten. You have to see yourself as a sinner. Like I told you, I saw myself as a sinner. I had no problem knowing that I was a sinner. I had no problem knowing that I needed a Savior. You see, I needed a Savior. I needed help. I couldn't help myself. I wanted to do the right thing, but I couldn't. My flesh would drag me away. My flesh would cause me to do the wrong thing. And that's because on the inside, when you're not saved, the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin, and you have to be quickened. Your spirit on the inside, the real immortal you, your soul has to be quickened and made alive. And you say, how can I be quickened on the inside? How can my soul be saved? Well, I'm trying to tell you, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And that's what happened to me. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only that, I believed on him to the saving of my soul. I believed in his death, his burial, his resurrection. I believe that he got up. I believe up from the grave he arose a victor over the dark domain. He arose a victor over death. And that's what he'll do on the inside of you. I believed all of those things. But I also had to repent of my rotten self, rotten sins. I had to repent of all my sin. I had to repent, and or else I'd perish. You know, Jesus said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, Jesus didn't leave us without witness. He didn't leave us without the word of God, the comfort. He didn't leave us without a way to get saved. And it's not the Romans road map, or it's not repeat this prayer after a preacher. I was heard one the other day, and he said that to be saved, if you just repeat this after me, and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he said, if you mean that, you're saved. And that grieved my soul. That's erroneous doctrine. That's not how you get saved. Yes, you do have to repent. You have to mean that with all your heart, but it's not just repeating after a preacher. A preacher has no power to save. You see, my preacher, as much as he loves us and still does, he knows, he admits it all the time. He says, I can't save you, but Jesus can. And he preaches the cross to us. He preaches Jesus to us. And people in our church are getting saved. And that's how I know it's real. You see, you can ask, and I can hear, see somebody right now sitting by the radio saying, well, how can I know my preacher's real or not? Well, I'll tell you. I can tell you, if he's preaching anything contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, meaning if he's not preaching about Jesus and the crucifixion and the cross and getting up from the dead and a broken heart and a contrite spirit and repenting of your sins, if your preacher's not preaching that, then I can tell you he's not real. He's not preaching the truth to you. Most of these preachers nowadays are false prophets. The Bible speaks to those in many different places, and it speaks about them in Peter. He knew about them. He speaks about these false prophets that are among the people. They're the ones that bring in this doctrine. They talk about gain, and you can see them all over TV. You can see them all over the radios. They preach that gain is godliness, and that's not the case. God doesn't want your money. It's all his anyway. Why would God want something that's already his? You see, God would not give a man, a so-called preacher, that kind of doctrine. He wouldn't give him a doctrine to tell you to send him all of his money and all these different types of things. You see, Peter talked about they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. They beguile unstable souls, and they practice these things. They have a heart that practices this. They're false doctrines and false preachers, and they do these things. They promise you liberty. They say, oh, if you give this money and if you give this and that, you send in this amount of dollars, God's going to bless you, and God's going to give you the most peace you've ever had. And I've heard them say it, and that's just not the case. Jesus is the one that gives peace. He says, peace I give unto you, not that the world gives, give I unto you. See, Jesus is the King of peace. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's the only one that can satisfy you. See, I grew up and I lived in all my life, and as long as I can remember, when I had that knowledge of sin, I chose evil over good. That's the way of the flesh. That's how we operate. You see, in our flesh is nothing but evil. There's nothing good about us. We have to be taught how to do good. Just like I said, like a little child, he or she must be taught how to do right and how to do good. You don't have to teach them evil. If you tell them no, they'll do the opposite. You have to teach them the right way. You have to correct them. And I'm glad that the Lord has mercy on us and he corrects us, even not being saved. He corrects you. There are storms in your life that are probably happening. There's things that are going on that you need to get rid of, and God's trying to deal with you. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. You see, that lets me know that you can't just get saved anytime you feel like it. If God is tugging at your heart, if he's dealing with you, and if he's speaking to you right now, you have to come while he bids you come, because there is a time where you can step over God's deadline. And I knew that for myself at the age of 23, before I got saved, God told me, he spoke to me in my heart. He said, it's your turn. And I knew that was it for me. If I didn't get saved at that point, I don't believe he would have dealt with me again, because if I ran already 7 years, he wanted me to be saved. And that time I finally gave it up. I went home at that moment. I went straight to the house and I prayed the night through. I poured out my heart to God, and I continued to pray all through the morning. I woke up and went to work. I still felt empty. I still felt unsatisfied. I still felt that guilt. You see, if a preacher, he's preaching to you, and you can know that he's real too. If he's preaching and it brings guilt to your soul, then that's good. You need that. Without conviction, there's no conversion. And my heart was convicted. When the Lord spoke to me and said, it's your turn, I felt so heavy and convicted, and I felt guilty on the inside. And I was guilty of sin. I was guilty of running from God. And I finally repented that next morning. I gave up my whole heart. I said, Lord, if it means dying on the spot right here, having a massive heart attack and dying, it's fine with me as long as I can go to heaven. As long as I'm saved and born again, I don't care what happens. I just want to be saved above life itself, because everything down here is temporal. I look around. Everything we see with the natural eye is going to perish and fade away. But those things that are not seen, those are eternal. And eternal life is unseen with the naked eye. But God gives us eternal life. He doesn't give us any sort of plan of 30, 60, or 90 days. Like if you do good for 30 days, well, then, you know, you can go to heaven. No, that's not the case. When God saves you, he completes you. I mean, he completes you absolutely and totally on the inside. And I'm grateful for that mercy. I'm grateful for his love and his compassion towards me. And the Lord wants to save you. He's dealing with many hearts, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that he had mercy on me, and I'm glad that he saved me. And my friends, if all you got to do is come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and he'll save you. And you just believe on the Lord's name, and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says, and your house. You can win your friends. You can win your family. You can win everybody that you come in contact with once you get saved. But I thank you for listening. I thank you for the Lord's mercy. I thank him so much for everything that he does for me. And my friend, I see my time is quickly coming gone, so I want you to write to me and pray for me. And God bless you. Amen.
Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you for tuning in this week. If this message was a blessing to you, or if you have any questions or comments, please write to me at P.O. Box 142-631, Fayetteville, Georgia, 30214. Again, that's P.O. Box 142-631, Fayetteville, Georgia, 30214. Please tune in next week. Until next time, friends, may God bless you.